That's a good question. How do we deal with depression? How do we view those kind of things? How do we deal with them then as believers? I mentioned on Sunday how easy it is to get discouraged, and sometimes that discouragement can lead into depression. We're trying to think about that from a gospel perspective. How can we look at trials? And James, in James 1, says a very strange thing. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And I looked at that yesterday for Sunday morning. That's a very strange statement, count it all joy. In fact, it's interesting that James commences his epistle with the word greeting after introducing himself, and then he says to the brethren, greeting. And that word greeting is the word rejoice. So he's telling them right off, and he's talking to Christians who have been scattered because of persecution and various reasons. He tells them straight off, rejoice, and then he adds to that, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So what does he mean by that? And James talks about temptations there, he's talking about trials, and he's talking about falling into temptations. He means they're temptations or trials that take us unawares, sudden things, unexpected things that happen that you haven't planned for, you haven't foreseen, and suddenly you find yourself in trouble. And the thing we've got to keep in mind, I think, when we think about our trials, is that God appoints them for us. Trials don't just happen. If we believe in a sovereign God, and we do, then we believe that God orders every event. He orders all things according to the counsel of his will. Psalm 55, David speaks there of casting your burden upon the Lord. And the word burden there means gift. So God has given you a gift, a trial, a burden, and we are to see it that way. It's a very important thing to keep in mind. Now remember also that God always deals with us in love. He can't otherwise, because he loves us with an everlasting love. He deals with us wisely too. Everything the Lord does is wise. So even our trials are by his wise appointments. He does it also with perfect understanding, because he measures our trials for us. My trial will be different than your trial. It will be a different length, a different type, a different circumstance, a different time. But God measures them all perfectly for us at the right time. The issue of suicide is going to be linked with the whole issue of depression and discouragement and despondency, and that happens for different reasons. And I think as we deal with people with that kind of a tendency, we've got to discover what is actually going on in their life. Psalm 42 deals with that kind of theme when the psalmist talks about being cast down. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within thee? He's very, very discouraged. Elijah feels the same. You know, it's enough, let me die. Now, he's not thinking of suicide, but he wants to die. He wants life to end. And it's only when he gets his eyes back upon the Lord again, and with him was a spiritual thing. I think there was a mixture there with physical issues as well. He was exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. But once he gets his eyes upon the Lord and realizes he's not the only one standing for the Lord, that there are 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee, and the Lord speaks to him through that still small voice, then Elijah is brought out of that state. I think when people feel that way, we've got to deal with them very tenderly, very carefully too, because you don't know what really is behind it. And if someone comes to a pastor or to another believer and says they're feeling suicidal, then we've got to take that very seriously and try to help them, try to discover what is taking place. Is there something that's brought this on? Has there been a series of things? What really is the root cause of that? And they want to discover what as best we can. And it may be they need medical help, and the best thing we do is point them in that direction. Or psychiatric help, point them in that direction. Or maybe a spiritual issue. And we have to point them then to Christ, because Christ is the only one who can deal with that kind of a situation and bring that person out of the despair. And many believers, whether we want to admit this or not, many believers lose sight of the Lord, and they lose sight of the sovereignty of God, and they get overwhelmed by the trials of life. And we all face trials, and some people face them better than others. Some people just find it difficult to cope, and so they need to be very carefully and tenderly and sympathetically dealt with. If there's sin involved, then we've got to deal with that sin. But it's a very dangerous thing to assume that because someone is in trial or discouraged or depressed, it's because of some particular sin. That's very often the approach people take to trials and troubles. It's a very dangerous approach to take, because while it's true that all sorrow and suffering and trouble it's traceable right back to the Garden of Eden. You know, that's where sin and misery and trouble all came. You can't say everybody's specific trouble is on account of some particular sin. And Christ deals with that in Luke 13. With the entire fall because people were more wicked sinners than others. You know, and he said, no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So he's not saying that particular trials or natural disasters, because that area is more sinful. We are all sinners. So we've got to be very careful. People with depression or discouragement or suicidal tendencies, we're not thinking this is because of some specific sin. We've got to take time and talk through that with them to try and determine where they are and what's happening. There is no happiness outside of Christ. Real happiness. I don't mean pleasure or fun. We can, you know, people can laugh even though they're not saved, and they can have a good time. But peace of soul, inner joy, inner happiness is impossible without Christ. And the psalmist said there, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And sometimes Christians can fall into the same snare. You know, we can begin to think that if we have more money and bigger job prospects or whatever, we would be happier. But our happiness surely is not wrapped up in those things. We need those things, but we're not wrapped up in them. Our happiness is in Christ. And then when we lose everything, if we do lose everything in the world, we still have that precious Saviour that fills our hearts with joy. But just something to keep in mind as we deal with people who are depressed and discouraged. You know, if that's part of it, that happiness is found in the Lord, true, genuine happiness is found in Christ alone.